Mr. Baker.
May it please the Court. Miller Baker on behalf of the Romanhaus Pension Plan. The Romanhaus Pension Plan provides, as its normal retirement benefit, a fixed annual pension beginning at retirement age. The plan also allows participants to receive a lump sum distribution in lieu of that fixed pension at retirement age. The plan further provides that participants that elect to receive the fixed annual pension may receive a cost of living adjustment, or COLA, in addition to the fixed annual benefit. The value of that COLA is not included in the lump sum distribution paid to those participants that elect to receive the lump sum distribution. In this case, Mr. Williams brought a class action alleging that because his lump sum distribution did not include the value of that COLA provided to annuitants, that the plan document itself violates ERISA. In this case, the district court recognized, and Mr. Williams admits, that the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit under the plan. The district court held that the plan itself violates ERISA because the plan's definition of accrued benefit does not include the COLA. The district court certified for interlocutory appeal to this court under 1292B the question of whether the plan itself violates ERISA by not including the COLA in the accrued benefit for any participant. The district court's holding that the COLA is an accrued benefit by operation of ERISA alone is wrong for two reasons. First, the holding conflicts with the statutory text and the relevant regulation defining what an accrued benefit is. Second, the COLA in this case is a retirement-type subsidy under a very recent Treasury regulation issued in 2005, 26 CFR 1.411D3G6, because it is the excess in value over the accrued benefit, a benefit that's an excess in value over the accrued benefit provided by the plan. First, returning to the first issue, the accrued benefit under the statute is determined according to the plan document. The relevant statutory text found at 29 U.S.C. section 1002.23 says that the accrued benefit is, quote, determined under the plan and expressed in the form of an annual benefit commencing at normal retirement age. Under the statute, a court is required to look to the terms of the plan to determine what is an accrued benefit. Likewise, the relevant Treasury regulation implementing this statute, 26 CFR 1.411B1A1, says that a participant's accrued benefit is the accrued benefit determined under the plan. That's how, under the statute and the regulation, the accrued benefit is determined. This is a very simple case. The district court acknowledged, and Williams admits, that under the plan terms, the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit. That is admitted. It's not a question in this case of whether or not the accrued benefit, or the COLA, is an accrued benefit under the plan. The district court found, and Williams admits, that the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit under the plan. Under the statute and under the regulation, that ends the inquiry. We know that the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit. Every case that has looked at the question of whether or not a COLA is part of an accrued benefit under ERISA has looked to the terms of the relevant pension plan. There is one exception to that case, to that rule, or one decision that's an exception to that rule, and that's apart from the district court below, and that's the Lorenzano decision from the district court in Massachusetts. And that court held that by operation of ERISA, any benefit is necessarily an accrued benefit. That is simply wrong as a matter of law. And why is that wrong as a matter of law? That brings us to the second point. ERISA expressly recognizes that retirement plans can provide benefits that are not accrued benefits. One such type benefit is a retirement-type subsidy. ERISA, in the text of the statute, expressly recognizes the existence of retirement-type subsidies, and a recent regulation defines what that is. But the district court here adopted the reasoning of the district court in Lorenzano and held that any benefit provided by a plan that's provided at normal retirement age has to be an accrued benefit. That simply is inconsistent with the text of ERISA and the regulations that recognize the existence of other types of benefits that can be provided at retirement age that are not accrued benefits. This legislative history to ERISA defines what a retirement-type subsidy is, one of these benefits that's not an accrued benefit. And it defines it as the excess in value of a benefit over the value of the relevant accrued benefit. In 2005, only 20 years later, the Treasury Department finally issued a regulation defining what a retirement-type subsidy is. That regulation, 29 CFR 1.411D3G6, provides that a retirement-type subsidy means the excess, if any, of the actuarial present value of a retirement-type benefit over the actuarial present value of the accrued benefit commencing at normal retirement age. That is exactly what we have here. We have a COLA, that is cost of living adjustment, that is in excess of the actual value of the accrued benefit. The regulation gives a non-exhaustive list of examples of retirement-type subsidies. Those examples are, first, a joint and survivor subsidized annuity.
You know, I'm trying to understand this. It's all a little bit complicated. But if I retire under this plan, I have two options. One is to get my annuity, which will be subject to a COLA, correct?
Correct.
And I will get, for as many years as I live, X number of dollars every month or every week, whatever it's paid, for as long as you live, with a cost of living adjustment added to it, correct?
That's correct.
If I elect instead to take a lump sum payment, it's reduced to present value, and I get that money, and you're off the hook for anything after that.
That's correct.
But the two have to be, if you're going to take a lump sum, it has to be the equivalent of what you would have got under your annuity. Am I with you?
Not exactly, and let's be very precise. What the lump sum has to be is equivalent to the value of the accrued benefit that is provided the normal retirement age. And here we know the accrued benefit is a fixed regular or annual annuity. It's fixed. That is the accrued benefit under this plan. The COLA is not part of that under this.
I would think that's a real important consideration on whether you're going to elect to take a lump sum or not. Somebody retired 20 years ago without a COLA on a pension is living on 1987 money in 2007. So that the COLA is real important to that.
It's a relevant issue, Your Honor. There's a cap on the COLA. It's not uncapped. It's only
it's
up to
capped 3%.
Capped at 3%, and it's a relevant consideration for a person. And in this case, Mr. Williams fully understood, he had full disclosure, that he had the choice between a fixed annuity that would include a COLA, but the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit, and a lump sum distribution that would not include the additional value represented by the COLA. So it is a relevant consideration, one that one should think about, and certainly the COLA has the effect of inducing people to stay in the pension plan, which there's a public policy benefit of people staying in a pension plan versus taking the money and running, so to speak, because at that point they're on their own. They have to decide how they're going to invest it. Hopefully they'll have the expertise to invest it well, whereas if the money remains in the plan, which is a trust fund, it's not company assets, that plan will invest the money for them under the guide of professionals. So, yes, it's a relevant consideration, but he had full knowledge of what the options were here. This regulation that defines what a retirement-type subsidy is two non-exhaustive examples, the joint and survivor, the subsidized joint and survivor annuity, and an early retirement benefit. Neither one of these examples is indistinguishable in principle from the COLA that we have here. Take, for example, the subsidized joint and survivor annuity. A non-subsidized joint and survivor annuity would be one that the value of the annuity would diminish once the participant died and the spouse started receiving the survivor annuity. A subsidized annuity, however, doesn't diminish. Mr. Williams does not argue that he would have been entitled to the lump sum equivalent of that additional value if the plan had provided a joint and survivor annuity. That is exactly what we have here. Nor is it any different from the early retirement subsidy. The early retirement subsidy is a situation where a person retires early but still receives the full value of what they would have received of their accrued benefit at that time had they retired at normal retirement age. That's additional value over the accrued benefit. In sum here, the plan defines what the terms of the accrued benefit are, and we know in this case that our plan does not include, the Roman Haas plan does not include the COLA within the accrued benefit. And second, we have a regulation, a Treasury regulation, that explicitly defines for the first time what a retirement type subsidy is, and that definition fits this COLA exactly. And we also know under a Treasury regulation that it is possible to provide a distribution alternative that includes a subsidy when the subsidy is not included in other forms of distributions. So in this case, it did not violate ERISA to provide the COLA in one form of benefit, that is the annuity, as opposed to the lump sum distribution. I see I'm out of time, and I'll reserve the remainder for
rebuttal. Can you prevail on this case without the Hickey case being overruled?
Absolutely. Your Honor, because Hickey turns on the plan document. We do not seek to overrule Hickey. Hickey turns on the plan document.
I just want to distinguish Hickey.
Well, we do distinguish it, and also there's a relevant change of the law since Hickey's been decided, and that is we have a regulation that issued in 2005 that defines what a retirement-type subsidy is. Thank you.
Here now from Mr. Freeman.
May it please the court. This case is controlled by Hickey. Hickey's dispositive. There's been no change in the law. To be clear, plaintiffs contend that COLA is an accrued benefit under the plan, part of the accrued benefit, because in the words of Hickey, and I quote, it is part of the annual benefit beginning at the normal retirement age that the employee earns or accrues during his employment. This is the definition of an accrued benefit in ERISA Section 3(23). It is the one benefit that's inviolate. The same arguments were made in Hickey. This plan provided that you receive a normal retirement benefit, and it further provided in Section 15.1 that the participant who takes that normal retirement benefit shall be entitled to an annual cost of living adjustment, and I quoted, of the basic monthly annuity payment upon retirement. Hickey stressed quite clearly that the plan can't contract around ERISA, that accrued benefit has a statutory meaning, and that that was the holding in Berger. There's a second reason. There's actually four reasons. Hickey controls. But since Hickey, this court has ruled in Call, Berger, and Cooper that if a participant elects to take a lump sum, as Judge Evans noted, an optional form of the benefit, the lump sum must be the actuarial equivalent of the relinquished benefit. Let me quote from the second sentence of Call versus Ameritech. When a participant in a defined benefit pension plan is given a choice between taking pension benefits as an annuity or in a lump sum must be so calculated as to be the actuarial equivalent of the annuity. That's page 817. That's the law. That's the law that this court stressed in Call and Berger. But beyond that, the third reason is that even if it weren't required by the law, this plan provides for that. This plan in section 12.1 of the 94 plan says that the lump sum must be, quote, the actuarial equivalent of the pension otherwise payable to the participant upon retirement. And even after they changed it to try to get around Lorenzano in 2001, section 7.2 defines the normal form of retirement benefit as an annuity beginning at age 65, consistent with ERISA, normal retirement age, a single life annuity. And then section 7.5 on the appendix, page 186, says the optional benefit, and that's the law, it just states the law, the optional benefit shall be the actuarial equivalent of the normal form of retirement benefit. And there's no dispute as to what the plan provides with respect to the normal form of retirement benefit. Now the fourth point, and this is how the judge reached the conclusion that the COLA in Cole was an accrued benefit. He looked at Hickey and he said, I agree with Hickey. The legislative history says that this is an accrued benefit under COLA. But he went on and said, I'm looking at section 204C3, which says you can't forfeit an accrued benefit by taking it as a lump sum. And in this plan, in the plan in Cole, the plan provided that the pension, the normal pension that a person would receive, and I quote, the lump sum cash option shall be equal to the value of the retirement income that would have commenced as of the participant's retire date had the normal form been effective. So Cole reached the same result on the reasoning of this court in Call versus Ameritech. Now the plan has argued that these regulations in 2005 somehow changed the law, that the regulations which added protections for retirement-type benefit changed the law. Here's what happened, and it's explained quite clearly by the Third Circuit in Bellis versus CBS. In 1984, the Congress passed an amendment to ERISA to expand the protections offered to retirement-type benefits and subsidies. And again, this issue was raised in Call. The Congress provided in Section 204G that retirement-type benefits would be treated as accrued benefits for purposes of the anti-cutback rule. There's no way that this expansion of retirement benefits by Congress could be deemed to somehow diminish or affect the protection that attaches to an accrued benefit. These are protections in addition to retirement-type subsidies in addition to what is afforded accrued benefits, which, as you pointed out, have to be the actuarial equivalent when taken in a lump sum. Now, 20 years later, our IRS does provide regulations implementing the change in the law in terms that were described in Bellis, actually, in the same interpretation. At that time, IRS issues regulations saying this is not intended to recharacterize any type of benefit. Congress says we are expanding the protection. We expect that IRS will not affect the protection afforded accrued benefits. But even more importantly, in Sheet Metal Workers, a case on which we rely, in which the parties held that a COLA granted to an employee before he retired was an accrued benefit, the IRS, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, was the party that disqualified the plan and was the opponent of the plan. It was IRS in 2004 that was contending that a COLA even granted to someone who had retired was an accrued benefit protected by the statute. So IRS has been consistent from day one to now that the protection afforded an accrued benefit should be as expansive as possible. With respect to, let me just go back over those arguments. With respect to Hickey, Hickey looked at a plan just like this. The COLA was in a different section. And Hickey said, but the participant's right to a COLA accrued each year with the right to the basic benefit. It's something that the participant earned, like in Heinz or Silvernail. It was his promised benefit. If Hickey further held that the COLA is inseparably tied to the monthly retirement benefit as a means for maintaining the real value of that benefit. And that echoes the testimony of the Director of Corporate Employee Benefits in this case, Patricia Doyle, who said, we put this into the accrued benefit to protect the participants from a reduction in annuity due to inflation. That's her deposition testimony at page 31. And Judge Barker relied on that statement and quoted it in her opinion, the short appendix 80.
How is the value of a COLA in the future determined for present purposes?
Well, there's a number of ways, Your Honor. First of all, the Social Security system has a similar cost of living adjustment and makes projections.
But there might be years where there is no COLA.
In the future.
Isn't it possible?
Well, this has a 3% cap.
It can't be.
So it avoids any real spikes. The plan, if you look at the appellant's appendix, the lawyer for the plan from Deckard Price writes a frantic letter after the decision in Lorenzano, and he says on appendix 337, he says, "Oh my God, you're in trouble. You better make this 2001 change to try to get out from under the law." And on page 00317, the actuary for the plan writes back with fairly precise calculations as to what it will mean, $175 million for one thing and $120 million, I think, for another. The actuary actually makes those calculations going forward and advises the plan that it will have to set aside additional money. And then third, I'd point you to footnote 17 in Judge LaValle's decision in Esden, where I quote, he says, projections and guesswork are at the heart of any defined benefit plan. They are what the plan's actuaries perform. This argument has been rejected that it's too difficult in the to project these things in the future. This is done all the time. The significance of this case, though, as long as you asked, is that the lawyer also points out that 95% of the participants take lump sums. That's how seriously they've been prejudiced. They know that most people are going to take lump sums because they need the money.
Well, they don't know if the plan's going to be around either.
Well, that too, perhaps. But it's very...
You get the money in your pocket right today and not depend on something 20 years from
now. It's a very important consideration for them to be able to take the lump sum. And I think that's why this court in Berger and Call stressed the importance of protecting the actuarial equivalent of the lump sum.
Have these cases had this sort of explicit thing where if you take the COLA now, you're not going to get, or take the lump sum, you're not going to get the COLA, as this plan does?
Only Lorenzano, but let me first go back for a second. The 94 plan of 2001, where most of these people reside, did not have any explicit. Lorenzano involved exactly this situation where the plan had said you won't get it if you take a lump sum. You only get it if you take the annuity. And Lorenzano says accrued benefit under ERISA can't have two meanings. You can't say it's one thing for this and another thing for that. It only has one meaning. And that's what sheet metal workers, that's what Shaw, that's what Hickey says. It has one meaning under the statute, and you can't contract around it. It's an annual, the accrued benefit must be expressed in the form of an annual benefit commencing at normal retirement age.
Just rendering that clause a nullity then, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Lorenzano says, as this court, as you said in Berger, you can't contract around ERISA, as Judge Posner wrote in his opinion. It is a nullity. And it's so obvious. It's so obvious what they did here. I mean, to burden people who took lump sums, they amend the plan. It's sort of like fixing the stairs after somebody falls down. They know that the 94 plan has to be read as providing the COLA as part of the accrued benefit. You have a provision for a normal retirement benefit, and you have a provision that if you take that normal retirement at age 65 as an annuity at age 65, you automatically get a COLA. And in precisely those circumstances, Hickey held that the COLA was part of the lump sum. Now, they might have missed Hickey because Hickey involved the anti-cutback reduction in benefits, not the inclusion in the lump sum. But the principle, once it's an accrued benefit, it has to be included in the lump sum. Judge Barker analyzed all of these cases at length. She analyzed the Lorenzano case. And the reason we're here is that she held in the last two pages of her opinion that indeed the COLA is a part of the accrued benefit and the plan violated the law by not giving it to people who chose lump sums as their form of distribution. If the court has no further questions, I'll rest.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. You have 3 minutes, Mr. Baker.
May it please the court. My opponent at the outset muddled two very distinct issues, and those issues are as follows. First, whether this is an accrued benefit under the plan. Mr. Williams has admitted in the district court, and the district court held that under the plan document, the COLA is not an accrued benefit under the plan. That is an entirely different issue from the question of whether ERISA requires that the COLA be an accrued benefit. His argument below and the question upon which this court granted certified appeal is whether or not ERISA, the plan violates ERISA because the accrued benefit is not part of the plan. I mean, the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit. That is the question upon which this court granted review, and his argument all along has been and is that ERISA, that the plan violates ERISA. Once again goes back to Call, Berger, and the other cases holding that the lump sum distribution has to be equivalent to the accrued benefit. That's not in dispute here. We readily admit that the lump sum distribution has to be part equal to the present value of the pension. That's not in dispute. The question in this case is whether the COLA is part of that accrued benefit. That's the threshold question that was never reached in Call and was never reached in Berger, and that's the question that this court certified for or accepted the certified appeal on. And we know that this COLA is not part of the accrued benefit because the statute and the regulation both define the accrued benefit by reference to the terms of the plan document. The plan document here is very clear that the COLA is not part of the accrued benefit. So we start from that proposition, and the law, the statute, and the regulation both provide that the accrued benefit is defined according to the plan document. Second, we know from the recent Treasury regulation that this COLA is exactly what the regulation defines as a retirement-type subsidy. It is the excess in value over the accrued benefit. It's provided at normal retirement age. That is exactly what this COLA is. And a separate Treasury regulation that we've cited in our briefs recognizes that you can provide that additional excess value, a subsidy, and not provide it in every form of benefit. And so we provide it. The Roman Haas Pension Plan provides this benefit to those persons that elect to receive the annuity, but it's not provided for persons that decide to take the lump sum distribution. This is expressly permitted by the regulations. So between the fact that first the plan defines what the accrued benefit is, and under this plan the COLA is not an accrued benefit. And second, the Treasury regulations that recognize the availability of subsidies that are not accrued benefit. For those two reasons, the district court erred, and this court should reverse the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. We thank both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.